Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And starting in verse 15, the Word of God says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green." He says, behold, he says this three times. Behold, thou art fair. Behold, thou art fair. Behold, thou art fair. Whenever you see repetition of this form, God is placing great emphasis on what is being said. He says, behold, thou art fair. Behold, thou art fair. Behold, thou art fair. Fair is the word beautiful. Behold, you are beautiful. And you're not just like casual attractive. You are beautiful, and I want there to be an emphasis on this. You are beautiful. Now, just a few verses prior to that, she says, "Don't look upon me. I'm black, and I've been working in the fields, and don't look upon me. I'm not comely. In that way, I'm not that kind of beautiful." And God is answering. He says, "Behold, you are beautiful. Behold, you are beautiful. Behold, you are beautiful." And He is trying to change her thinking, because He is trying to impart to her the way that He sees her. And He says, "Behold, you are beautiful." And He only gives one qualification for this. He says, "You have dove's eyes." And this is profound. Now, the fact that He says it three times in application is an indicator that He is talking about something that is going on in her life at present, that God, in the triune expression of Him, all three members are working in her life. And the fact that she has dove's eyes is talking about the fact that she has Holy Spirit perceptions. And she does not see herself in her natural as much, but God sees her as she actually is. She has a heart after God, but she also sees her natural condition. And she does not see herself as being a whole lot. And God says, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful." Now that triplet there is important. You are beautiful because God, the Father, has ordained a plan in your life and has initiated the manifestation of that plan, and you are growing in that plan. And this makes you beautiful. You are beautiful because the Son has cleansed you in His blood, given you His righteousness, given you His mind, and made you all that you are, perfectly accepted to God, seated above in the Son in heavenly places with the world under your feet. You are beautiful. This makes you beautiful. You are beautiful because the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, guiding you in all truth, showing you things to come, building you from the inside. And you are manifesting His thoughts. You are beautiful. This is what makes a person beautiful. How many people spend lots of money to make themselves beautiful? But in truth, this is what makes a person beautiful. I'm not against painting the barn. But I have to recognize that it's not an issue of the paint, it's an issue of the barn. In other words, if the barn looks good, it's going to be a good barn whether you paint it or not. And by that I'm saying that if there is beauty, it comes from this. That God is working in all His expressions in your life and you are responding to Him. And that is the source of all beauty. I must not forget that. Young women in particular must not forget that. Because of our culture and the emphasis that is placed on a woman's physical appearance, men as well, but women more. There can be this deception from the enemy that says, I look like this, my face is like, my nose is my ear, my body is like this, I am not beautiful. But there are plenty of beautiful women who are not very pleasant to look at. And not because they don't have good features. Physically, it's because the features physically are in truth irrelevant. Now, there is an element of the biological person that looks for certain things, but that is still not what makes them beautiful. You take a person, whether it's a male or a female, with attractive feature, and you put ungodliness into those features, and you have a person whose appearance is a mockery to who they are. You take a person who may look ordinary, somebody that the world would not even recognize as special. You put the work of the Holy Spirit in their life and they become magnificent. God calls them beautiful. And this is what He is saying to her. She said, I've not really done that well in my life. I've not really gotten to the place that people aspire to. I've gotten damaged physically by the sun as I worked in the fields. Don't look on me, that shows a person of a lower estate in those days. And God is saying, not so. You may work in the field, but you're beautiful. You may not have a high estate, but you are beautiful. You may be someone people don't regard, but you are beautiful. And the groom regards the bride. And he calls her beautiful. See, what do I care what the world thinks so long as my groom thinks I'm beautiful? What do I care what the world says? What do I care how I measure up to some magazine cover or somebody's image or what somebody says? The magazine cover was not real either. Look at that Dove thing about that young woman that's being a model, right? I don't remember what it's called, but a lot of people know about it. The company, Dove. They show what goes into a magazine cover, and they show you the model as she enters the makeup chair and then as she's photographed. You know what? She doesn't look anything like that. She was an ordinary woman with a lot of airbrushing. The computer stretched her neck. Hey, young ladies that might be listening on the internet, unless you can computer stretch your neck, I wouldn't even worry about it. And by the way, you can't, so don't try it at home. What comes from the inside of the man is what corrupts him, yes. But it can also express that beauty that is within the believer. If you are beautiful, it is because you have been made to be so by the work of God in your life. It has nothing to do with your features. We're kind of culturally oriented. We want our features to be just so. But you know, even if you succeed in making your features just so when you are 20 years old, they're not going to be like that when you are 60. They're not. Ladies, I got news for you, no matter what you do, you're going to change once you have children. And you may work out and be very healthy looking and still maintain physical good features, but your body's going to change. And when you start the aging process and you start getting a little bit wrinkled, it's going to change. And guys, you too. What did you call beautiful? What did you call beautiful? And it's fine to look nice. It's a good testimony to God. But what did you call beautiful? Was it the fact that you were just so? Or was it the contents of the heart that radiated through that person's shell? What did you call beautiful? See, so many people are afraid of what will happen when they age. And there's a lot of people making a lot of money on that. But what did you call beautiful? That doesn't change. What changes is our cultural perceptions that change us to think apart from the way God sees things. But we don't accept those. We have the mind of Christ. And so we think like God thinks. And here He is saying, you are beautiful. You're beautiful because God has initiated a plan and you are living in that plan. And you are responding to Him. You are beautiful because the Son has cleansed you in His blood and made you perfectly righteous. And you are beautiful because the Holy Spirit is living in you. You are operating in truth through Him and He radiates through you. And that is why you are beautiful. Never, never misunderstand. She said, I've had bad experiences. She said, I've been to bad places. She said, I've done bad things. And He says to her in Isaiah 61 and verse 3, I give you beauty for ashes. So take your ashes to Me and I will exchange you with beauty. I will exchange beauty for your ashes. In other words, I will take your ashes and I will do something amazing. And I will remove your ashes from you, and what will remain is what is really there. What will remain is what I have created in you. How many people, I just heard this yesterday, how many people say, hey, this is what I am like. I cannot pray well. I do not fellowship well. I'm not really good in the Bible. I don't really live right before God. But I love God and I desire Him, but I'm not all that before Him. You know what? You are looking at your ashes. You do not think that way. You're looking at your ashes. God gives you beauty for your ashes. You said you love God, did you not? You said you desire Him, did you not? You said that you long to be right with Him, did you not? That is the beauty that you possess. It's not your ashes. It has nothing to do with your ashes. It's not what mistakes you have made. It's not whether you got everything right. I guarantee you, you're making mistakes right now, whether you realize it or not, just sitting there listening to this. How am I making mistakes? I don't know, but there's bound to be one. You're a human being, and so am I. There's bound to be something somewhere. But God says, I don't see that. I see you as you actually are. See, that's the thing. A lot of people say, positional truth, yeah, okay, this is what God says about me, yeah, okay, but I know the real story. Really? You know more than God? Who's right? Who do you think is right? God or you? And most people, without saying it, because they don't think it through this far, would say me. Because I've been there. I'm there. And God is there too. And God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're all about. And yeah, He knows your head is sick. Your heart is faint. No good thing in you. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. The whole nine yards. He knows it. But you know what? That's not who you are. You are what you are by the grace of God. The grace of God does not create anything other than what is beautiful. The grace of God does not create anything other than what is beautiful. So you got those ashes and you've got them in your nice little box to look at them, and you know what? Don't look at them. Give them to God and He'll exchange His beauty. That is to say, let your ashes be lost in truth. And let God's Word become the foundation of all your thoughts, including the thoughts you have toward yourself. God says you are beautiful. And that's all He has to say about it, right? There's nothing more. He adds nothing more. Just you are beautiful. Not you're beautiful and smart. Not you're beautiful and talented. Not you're beautiful and skilled. Not you're beautiful and funny. Just, you are beautiful. That's all He says. You're beautiful. Why? Because He made you that way. He made you the way you are. He made you that way. He had a plan before the world began, in eternity past. He had a plan. And He said, this person is going to look this way. They're going to be like this. This is who they're going to be. And this is how they're going. This is how much hair they're going to have. This is how tall they're going to be. This is how many teeth they're going to have when they're 77 years old. He designed it all. And it is somehow perfect. And it is in fact beautiful. It's your spirit that people see. We don't think of that. We think people see my face and they see if my eyes are this far apart or this far apart. Or they see how my nose looks, or they see my mouth. They see that my nose is a little crooked. They see that I have a pimple on my left cheek. And God says, no, this is not what they see. They see who you are. Young people sometimes they get worried about, what's my spouse going to think of me? I'm going to get married, and then 10 years later, what are they going to think of me? Are they still going to see what they see now? I hope not. Why? Because most often, young people, you are thinking about what is superficial and not what is real. Your beauty does not come from your physical features. Your beauty comes from the Spirit. And people see your spirit. There are people with great physical features and no one is attracted to them. There are people with modest physical features and everybody is attracted to them. Why? Because people see your spirit. And if you are beautiful, it is because of the Spirit of God. And people see that. And God sees that. And He defines it for what it is. And He says, you are beautiful. We are God's portion. As you are God's portion. Deuteronomy 32:9. You are God's portion. What He desires is you. He does not desire you after you change. He desires you the way you are. He does not desire you perfected and without your weakness or without your problem. He desires you the way that you are. He does not desire you after you have grown and become so spiritual that it makes your head swell. He desires you the way that you are now. See, don't think that somehow your desirability to God is based on anything that is in your life apart from the Holy Spirit and the love that He sheds abroad in your heart. In other words, He desires you because He loves you. And that is the only reason why, and that is the ultimate reason why. He desires you because He loves you. He doesn't desire you because you did well. He doesn't desire you because you never failed. He doesn't desire you because you got it all together. He doesn't desire you because of your talent or skills or physical appearance. He desires you because He loves you. He loves you because it's in Him. And so He desires you. You are His portion. You are the apple of His eye in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32. You are that apple of His eye. You know what that's taught? You are this little man in His pupil. You know what that's saying? This is a really curious... You are the little... What is the eye? It's talking about perception. You are what God is conscious of. You're not an afterthought. You are what He is conscious of. You know, you got your conscience working, and you got your consciousness working, and you got your mind working, you are the foundation, the center, the focus of all of those things. You are God's consciousness. What am I saying when I say that? He is so focused on you in His mind, nothing else needs to exist. It is all about you. It's all about the love that He has for you. It's all about His desire for you. It's all about the fact that He does love you. Sit right there. That's all He cares about. All He cares about is the fact that He loves you. That's it. Nothing more. That's it. But what if I do this? That doesn't matter. He loves you. The woman was caught in adultery, but she came and received the love of God. It did not matter. And He did not deal with her according to her sin. He dealt her according to her position before Him. She was a backslidden believer, but a believer nonetheless, the beloved of God. And He dealt with her accusers, not with her. And no, He didn't wink at her sin, but He got rid of her accusers. He didn't get rid of her. He would rather have the one woman in adultery than the 100 accusers who were Pharisees in their self-righteousness, pointing a finger but denying God in their religious manifestation. He'd rather have her. And she was the one He kept, and He sent them away. See, they could have stayed too. But their own conscience removed them. Not because it needed to, but because they rejected the love that He had, and they couldn't stand before it. See, that's the thing. I will either accept the love of God or I will reject it, but if I reject it, I cannot stand before it. I won't be able to handle it. And so He says, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. And this is who we are. He says, you're precious in My sight. In Isaiah 43:4. You are precious in My sight, and I have loved you. Now, they were not precious people at this time. They were rebellious people, if we were to look at it in natural terms. But even in the midst of the rebellion to Him, they were precious. And the reason why they were precious were because they were beloved. And they were not beloved because of their merit. They had none. They were beloved simply because God chose to be who He was, and He loves them. See, I think sometimes we try to put some kind of rationale behind the love of God. Like, God will love me if... We don't think that consciously, but our lives and then the way we go about our lives reveal it. God will love me if... Or if I'm like this, God won't love me quite as much. I won't be able to approach Him as freely if I make a mistake. I won't be able to expect from Him as freely if I make a mistake. He won't be as faithful to me if I make a mistake. You think He doesn't love you? That's the problem. You think He doesn't love you. But none of those things are true. Those are all lies of the enemy that have been projected to your thoughts as you are operating in an insecure self-image. Well, God said, don't have a bad self-image, and for that matter, don't have a good one either. He said, don't have any self-image. Let Me be your image. See Me. Be conscious of Me, He says, not of yourself, of Me. And then you shall live. And so, we do not operate in this self-conscious mentality. We operate within the source of our own beauty. We operate in the consciousness of God, who gives us that beauty. And we are beautiful. And you know what the amazing thing is? We become what we are. We become what we are. I love the fact that there are certain people, you can look at the picture before they were saved, you can look at the picture after they were saved, and you cannot recognize them as the same person. Why? Because God is working in their hearts. Because God is transforming them. Because God has made them new. Because God is revealed in their lives. That's why. And they are not perfect people, never will be. But they are beautiful in the eyes of God. And the eyes of God are real, truthful perception. Nothing else is reality except what is real in the eyes of God. We are in Christ. Do we understand this? We are in Christ. And Christ in Psalm 48 and verse 2 is beautiful for situation. Now, as much as I love that message, beautiful for situations, that Pastor Stevens taught years ago, that was an application, not an interpretation. Situation there is not talking about situations, plural. Situation there is not talking about circumstance at all. Situation there, in the original language, is the word nop. And it's talking height or the elevation of something, where it's put. It's situated there. And he says he's beautiful for where he is situated. Well, you know what? You are beautiful for where you are situated. You are situated in the blood. You are situated in the Lamb. You are situated in the life of God. You are situated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. You are situated where nothing can touch you. You are situated in the Savior, and the Savior is beautiful. You are beautiful for your situation. This is why the world, regardless of what kind of physical attributes they may have, can never possess true beauty. Because they are not situated in the place of beauty. And this is also why in Song of Solomon 1:16 he says, also our bed is green. What does that mean? We rest in the places of life. We rest in that which imparts life. We rest in that which nourishes. If I'm in a place that's green, in Psalm 23:2, then I'm in a place that has water. And that is the Word of God. And we rest in the finished work of Christ, is what he's saying here. We have faith rest through faith responses. And we have faith responses because we mix faith with what we hear, and it has produced that rest in our hearts. And this makes you beautiful. This makes you beautiful. And so you got these people who are worried about, oh, I have a thing here or a thing. I got a little mole right over there, right by my nose. I have a little mole. Isn't that horrible? I have a little mole. Well, maybe God wanted you to have a little mole. There's some actresses make a lot of money on that little mole. They have people paint that little mole on them. You know, we are so trivial sometimes in our natural thinking. We worry about things that are irrelevant. Things that really don't matter a whole lot. We make them into something very big. And we get very upset and very diligent about these things sometimes. And God says none of that matters. What matters is what God is doing in your heart. That's what matters. That's what makes you beautiful. The way that you respond to Him, that's what makes you beautiful. Including physically. Have you forgotten about the mirror neurons and the epigenome and the influence that the Word of God has on the physical structures of your body? Including physically. The Word makes you beautiful. God makes you beautiful. It's not about whether your nose is crooked. It's about what God has done. And it's okay to try to look nice. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with trying to look nice. But that's not beauty. Looking nice, very often, not in all cases, some people do it because they honor God in it. But some people do it because they want the attention of it. They only look nice if it's for somebody else. But they want the attention of it. In some cases, not in all cases. Young lady's going to get dressed up if there's guys there. In some cases. Well, that's not beautiful. Doesn't matter how well she paints the barn. Doesn't matter what kind of clothes. That's not beautiful. But she does it perhaps so that there's a testimony to the Savior that she looks nice and that a Christian can be an attractive person and look good. And that then that has some value. But that's not where her beauty comes from. That's not where a guy's beauty comes from. It comes from Christ in the heart and what He is doing. Never confuse that. You see, the young woman in Song of Solomon confused that. She said, "Don't look at me." And he said, "You're beautiful. Do you see yourself this way?" She said, "Don't look at me." And God says, "You're beautiful. But you're beautiful." And that's all that's to it. Amen?